Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned into the Covenant Cafe with your hosts, Lamont Ferguson and Poetic Lace. Are you stressed? Don't be stressed. You should always be blessed. You got a testimony to speak. You need a little advice, or you just need to hear some inspirational music. Well, you have found the place, the Covenant Cafe, with Lamont Ferguson and Poetic Lace. It's time to get blessed.
Lamont Ferguson
and Poetic Lace.
And before we started, we would like to apologize for the inconvenience. We had some technical difficulties, and basically, the devil's a liar. The show is going to happen today, and we're here. Sorry, half hour later, but guess what? Better late than never.
Better late than never. Perfect. Perfect phrase.
All right, let's go ahead and open up with our verse for the day.
All right, just so to get started, man, the Lord, the Lord is always tugging on me. So tonight, the Lord told me to turn to Matthew 20, 30 through 34, and it says, "And behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.' Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet, but they cried out more, saying, 'Mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.' So Jesus stood still and called them and said, 'What do you want from me, for you? Well, what do you want me to do for you?' Then they said to him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be opened.' So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." Amen. So, in short, what the Lord was just basically showing to me, this is what's going on. You got two blind men sitting on the side of the road. And next thing you know, they hear that Jesus is walking by. Now, as they hear he's walking by, they start crying out, like, "Jesus, save us. Jesus, help us." And the multitude of the people, quote unquote, that's following Jesus, talk back to the men and tell them to be quiet. So instead of being quiet, the men yelled louder. And this brought Jesus, got Jesus' attention. He had compassion on them. And he healed them, and immediately after, they followed him. So in short, I want to put some inspiration in you guys' soul. I want to encourage you that, you know, there's going to be times that you have a desire, that you have a sight, that you have something that's bubbling in you that you need or you want really, really, really bad. And you're going to have people, quote, unquote, in the church or, quote, unquote, that follow Jesus that's going to tell you to be quiet, don't follow your dreams, shut up, get out of the way, whatever they might say. And it's up to you to yell louder, to pursue Jesus more, instead of being quiet or listening to the naysayers. And the most important thing is in the text that stood out so much to me was, after Jesus had blessed them, which was immediately, they followed Jesus. They didn't just get up and walk their way. So how many times do us Christians, do we pray, "God, help us, da-da-da," and then "God, help us," and then we turn our back? No, that's not what we're rocking anymore, straight up. When Jesus bless us, we're going to follow him with our hearts, our souls, and our mind, and we're going to continue to follow him, and we're going to bless his holy name. So this text right here, it really puts us in perspective of, it encourages us, and it disciplines us. It encourages us that Jesus can do more and exceedingly more and abundantly than what we ask for. And two, when he does it, let's follow him. We should be following him beforehand, because you can see that these two blind men that were sitting on the side of the road, all they had to hear was Jesus was in the vicinity, and they started shouting and praising. Why do we wait for something to happen for us to start praising? Nah, when you know Jesus is in the building, let's get loud. And Jesus is omnipresent, so he's here right now. The Holy Spirit is among us, so let's get live, straight up.
You know what? That that is absolutely 100% correct, because that goes back to what we talking about a couple of weeks ago, or
mm-hmm.
we talk about it all the time. You know, you give them praise for the trials.
Mm-hmm.
That
you have. Amen.
You know, of course, and then you give them praise for coming through them those particular trials.
Right.
Because if you don't have trials, how do you know you in the right hands?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Preach. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So you can only get better by going through trials. You only get better riding your bike by falling.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Roller skating. Right. When you first put on a pair of roller skates, you just don't skate off into the sunset. You know
right.
what I mean?
My knees are messed up to this day because of my rollerblades. You hear me?
Yeah. So you don't get up and just start moving. I mean, you can, no problem. But you're going to fall on your face quite a few times.
Right,
But the end result is that you keep getting up because he's allowing you to.
Amen.
You know what I mean? He's not going to let you mm-hmm. fall on your face. He's not going to give you anything that you can't handle. You,
Amen.
A human, man, really? All these bills coming at once, and I only have this amount?
Mm-hmm.
Relax. You got it. But you got to leave it there, though. You got to leave it there.
And that's so real, because this how God moves. God often gives us an opportunity. He gives the opportunity to show that he's God. You know what I mean? So how will we know he's God if everything is perfect? You know what I'm saying? Or how do we know? How do you know you trust God if you ain't got no reason to trust him? Like, trials and tribulations build faith, it builds strength, it encourages us. It keeps us pushing forward to grow closer to him. So, you know, I encourage that we just start trusting him. Like, we got to leave it to him. If we pray to him, let's leave it to him, and let's keep it moving, because God got us.
Mm-hmm. He got our back. And that's real talk. Wow, that's pretty deep, man.
Yeah, Lord be doing some stuff sometime, man.
You know what? We're going to just give God this right here.
Give him the button.
You have to.
You got to hit it five more times for seven, because seven is completion. So give it five more times.
Five more times.
That's four. That's five.
You got five, right?
Yes, sir. We got two more.
Oh, we got two more. You know,
yes,
being so complete, that is very important.
Yes.
And everything you do, your goal is to do it at 100%. Whatever your job is, people don't realize that, like, you have to complete what your task is.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
You know what's powerful? That was a sermon in church today. And church is like, no matter what your job is, your position, where you at in life, no best or worst of situations, you're supposed to bring your best. Because
yeah.
you don't know who's watching you or what kind of test this is. So you got to bring your best every time. Complete. Go hard.
And you know what? I have to give a shout-out to my wife, Cynthia Ferguson, because she always says this. You always want to dress nice, because when you go out to the store, just because you say you're going to the corner store, you know who's going to be out there. You know who's going to be looking
true,
at you.
That is true.
So cause, like, there are a lot of times I'll say, look, I'm just going to wear this. Really? I'm just going to Walmart. Mm. And then she's like, oh, you know a lot of people. You might run into somebody. And you're looking all like you just jumped out of bed, clothes are wrinkled. But, like, guys, you just, you know, sometimes you just move like that. But It makes perfect sense. You know, it makes perfect sense. Because you don't know who you're going to bump into. You might, like, especially in what I do, you know, do a lot of plays and stuff like that, and I'm kind of connected with the actors and different people around the area. So you don't know who you're going to run into. You might run into somebody who's like, oh, man, I've always wanted to catch up with you to be in a show. And then they look at you, and they're like, oh. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I hope I didn't get sidetracked. But you always got to be on point when you leave, go out. You know, you always everything you do, you always got to do it at 100%. And I actually teach that when I'm directing a show, when I'm directing a one-act play, or even when I'm dealing with the kids at school, I tell them, whatever you do, no matter how big the task is, how small the task is, if you do it at 100%, someone's watching you.
True.
And you may think that little task that you did was simple, but to someone else, they probably can't do that.
True.
You know what I mean? So...
it's funny, I am guilty of, you can catch, it's a good possibility you might catch me in the street with some Jordan shorts on, some flip-flops, a tee. If I ain't getting it in the studio or on the set or anything like that, if we ain't in business, but you might catch me chilling. So I am guilty of that, you know, so I ain't going to sound like a hypocrite on the air because somebody might be like, I seen Lace at that Walmart. What are you talking about?
But you know, on top of that, what you're saying, like, It depends on where you come from. Like, if you were from activity and you have no other choice but to have what you have on, that's different. But when you leave in your house, you have a choice.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just crazy. Ladies and gentlemen, we have so much in store for you guys today. We do have something special if it takes off. And you have must hang in and stay tuned to this show today because we may have a possible J. Moss sighting or hearing. I keep talking TV talk when I say sighting, and it's really not the sighting because you're going to hear him. you see what I'm saying?
Once he comes, once he's in the building.
You know, so we're going to have a possible, I'm just going to have to say it, we're going to have a possible J. Moss sighting. And
he's coming through. J. Moss is in the building. He's going to be in the building.
So y'all hang on for that. And we have a poet, Steve Scott. He's going to be calling.
Ego is the truth.
Man. So we got a lot of stuff planned for you guys today. And before we actually get into our first piece of news, actually give him a snippet of what we're going to touch on as far as the current event before we get into our first song.
So, you know, we have a lot of laughs on the show, obviously, but I want to talk to you about something serious that happened this morning in Kenya. There has been another attack on the Christian church, but I ain't going to go into that because we're going to go into something else. But that is a little snippet that I'm giving you right now. This is real talk, though. We got to have a serious moment.
Okay. So when we come back from Darren Hobbs, we're going to talk about what's going on with Lace and this piece of information that he's going to pass out to you and for you to pay attention to your surroundings. It's very important. This is the Covenant Cafe, your host, Lamont Ferguson.
And Poetic Lace.
And we're going to be listening to Darren Hobbs, Free.
Free, free from my past. Free from the pain, free from the guilt that would cause me to be ashamed. Once I was blind, but now I see clearly the debt that I owe. Jesus paid for me. No more chains are binding me. I'm totally free. Even my human desire to crucify my soul, could not outweigh the knowledge of fact that you made me whole. Time after time, I remind myself that your mercies is beyond new. Help me, oh Lord, to establish and know that at Calvary I was redeemed. You set me free, free from my past, free from the pain, free from the guilt that would cause me to be ashamed. Once I was blind, but now I see clearly the debt that I owe. Jesus paid for me. No more chains are binding me. I'm totally free. All because of Jesus. You commended your grace and your love toward me. Saved me from death and destruction. Gave me life eternally. Not after my sins have you dealt with me, Lord. I'm so grateful for all you do.
That's so real, man. That touched my soul because it's like, why do we allow things to bound us? Man, we're free through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're saved. We're good. We got a lot of work to do down here, but we're free. You know, we don't have to be slaves to the media, slaves to lust, slaves to not having, like, we don't have to be slaves to all the stuff that we see. Well, we're free.
Wow.
Powerful that's, stuff.
That's pretty deep, man. Wow.
Mm.
That's some amazing stuff.
Amen.
Well, let's talk about some more seriously amazing situations that's going on. What do you have for us?
All right. This is real. This is real. Like, this is a check. And y'all got to forgive me for my boldness for some stuff that I'm going to say as we go into the article. But this is real life. So today, early this morning at 3:15 a.m. on our time, what happened was there was 17 people were killed in Kenya by gunfire and grenade attacks. At least 45 people were wounded. But that's not the kicker, though. The kicker is that the attack was on Christian worshipers. The Catholic Church and the African Inland Church were hit by open firing of grenades, of course. And the thing that's crazy about it, the way how the attack was coordinated, there's people assume that it was the Nigerian Islamic Militant Group. Now, this is where I'm getting at, you know, the deeper issue of it is like, look at this. We have Christian worshipers who really believe, who are getting killed for what they believe in. Mind you, this has been going on since March and April. These attacks like this, people been getting killed, getting hit by grenades. All this stuff has already been going on. So to be honest with you, you know, just being real with everybody now. How do we have the audacity to feel like we going through a lot over here when people are getting martyred for the name of Jesus Christ, just to go worship him, let alone, I ain't talking about preaching the streets. I'm talking about just going to say thank you, God, in the building. So this is what I really want to touch base on. They're trying to come out with this religion called Chrislam, right, which is a combination of Christians and Muslims. And basically, at a certain time during the week, they're going to come together and worship. How the hell do you think that's going to work out? They follow Muhammad. We follow Jesus. But Jesus said, I am the way. Muhammad ain't the way. Why am I worshiping? Why do I need to worship with them? I feel like that's ludicrous and that's crazy. And on top of that, look what the Muslims are doing. They coming out gunning us down. And to be honest with you, if they try to force that religion on us here in America, well, I'm going to get martyred straight up. There's no way in the world you're going to catch me bowing down to Muhammad, following his ways. And I feel like we need to start stepping up with boldness. We need to start being real. Like I caught this dude the other day. They was like talking about at the job. They told him he can't be talking about Jesus. But it's cool for everybody to be like Buddha this and Muhammad that. But every time you bring up Jesus, you know, they be like quiet down because you might disturb or make the other employees uncomfortable. Please. Wow. There's no end. Why? Why? Why are we so submissive as Christians? You don't see none of these other religions doing that. This is real life.
Yeah, actually, that's pretty interesting because just like we discussed before, when as Christians, people believe that the church, you go to church and that's it. The church, but actually, your goal is to actually serve the community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Supposed to have outreach programs going on. But a lot of people get caught up into just attending the building and not going out to the community and doing things for the community.
Right.
As well as having community events at your church besides your, let's say, your basic meetings, deacons' meetings.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Deacon board number 5, deacon board number 6, this meeting. You know what I mean? So it's just... You're really supposed to be serving the community, so if you're going to have the building and be useful to the community, you need to have other programs going on in that community that can help out. Maybe have some financial counseling programs going on. You know, the economy is bad, so, you know, maybe have a counselor come in and be able to talk to people, having open seminars and workshops and stuff like that. But it's the... I don't know what people are afraid of, but I know what people are afraid of.
Talk to me.
People are afraid of not being accepted.
I agree. If I don't agree with nothing else you say tonight, I agree.
Because you say, oh, what are you, a Christian? And you're like, yes. We can't say this around you. Well, we don't.
You don't. Straight up.
If you feel that way, but see, society has, like you just said, accepted all the other religions as to be cool. You know, mm-hmm. Russell Simmons, he does a lot of different religions, you know, Buddha, mm-hmm. you know, all of that. But when you say someone is a Christian, they look at you in a whole different light, and they start picking apart the imperfections of certain Christians and certain churches,
yeah.
and then they say
yeah.
that's how everybody is, because
yeah.
that's the way they want to go. You know what I mean?
I feel you. This is what I feel. This is what I'm saying straight up out of everything, because I agree with you saying. I feel that we should not just be Christians on Sunday. That's one. And then two, we need to start taking up for one another. Like, I've really been irritated all this week about how people are just constantly dissing the church. The church ain't doing this. The church ain't doing that. Da, 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 da. Jesus said he's taking the church as his bride. So we need to start taking up for the church, and we need to start doing more. Like, you know, we all are guilty of some kind of flaw that, you know, that we're complaining about currently. But as a collective whole, we need to start taking up for the church. That's one thing. And then two, and three, I mean, no compromise. Done compromising, straight up. Just like you said, like, oh, you're Christian, I can't say nothing around you. Then don't. Straight up. Respect my beliefs. Like, no more, like, for real, because everybody, we got people, we got other religions or other people, like, because I know thugs that are dying for their block. So you telling me we can't die for our Lord and Savior? Muslims dying for Allah. You telling me we can't die? We can't stand up for what's right? We can't even just for one day, like, if Jesus, you know what I mean? Like, basically, if somebody's dissing Jesus' name, we can't just say, you know, hey, chill with all that. That's simple. That's real simple. Even if somebody might hate you, oh, well. Let's start standing up for what's ours.
You know what? That's very interesting. You're saying, you know, these kids are dying for a block.
Government property, you hear me?
Yeah, government property. Last time I checked, you know, on this block, you know, you really, what house you own? Well, I stay in that apartment over there, apartment 2C. Oh, do you own that? No, we rent. Oh, so why are you, this is your block, how is that? What parcel of land do you own? You own 40?
It's a lot, man.
Yeah.
It's so much because it's like, because we lack understanding and knowledge. I mean, I came from an urban setting. I was, you know, born in Compton, California, raised in Jacksonville. So, you know, the streets ain't out of my blood line at all. So it's like I understand, you know, why it's so why people are so protective and defensive in that category. But at the same time, it's because what the Bible say, my people, they perish because they lack knowledge. So it's up to us. It all goes back to the whole thing about, you know, us being the church. We need to start, you know, communicating more, standing up for what's right. We need to start displaying that knowledge. We need to start sharing wisdom. Just start being real. I mean, you can just start from here as being bold. Because, be honest with you, I could tell somebody's right now like, oh, my God, he said it on the air. You can't talk like that. You know what I mean? So we can't, but we are.
So basically you're saying everybody need to be like Stephen. The first martyr in the Bible.
This is the thing. Okay, to be real about that, on that topic too, everybody's not called to get martyred in some sense. Like, I don't want you to, like, do something and God didn't tell you to do it. I just want, in short, what the Bible says, love God with your whole heart, mind, body, soul. Give everything to God. So if that's what you got to do, if you love something with all your heart, who are you going to let come in and spit on it?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going to let nobody spit on my mama. So so I love God. I love God more than my mama. So you're not going to spit on God in my presence.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm saying. Not everybody's going to be called to die for Christ. True.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody is called to love Jesus, God, through the blood of Jesus Christ with everything you have. And what comes in the territory of love, then the Bible talks about love being long-suffering. Love is not evil. Just straight up. That's what we got to start doing, long-suffering for God. Let's start taking up with him, regardless of what the cost is.
Wow. That's some deep stuff, man. I think you made some people a little nervous.
Man, this is what we got to start doing. And if y'all catch me slipping in the street like I ain't about it, then correct me. You know, that's how serious I am, because I will receive correction from my Lord. Like, I don't want to be telling y'all this stuff, and then you catch me, and I'm... Oh, what happened to all that God talk last night? I need to tighten up then. That's how serious it is, that we all need to be able to receive correction and start walking for God, with God, straight up. No questions asked, no compromise.
Mm-hmm. So, you're absolutely right. And people need to wake up, because there's a lot of the sign of the times. A lot of this stuff is going down right before our eyes. I mean, you mean to tell me they're going to have an actual combo of Christians and Muslims in the same?
Come on.
And they trying to make that a new religion?
It's a part of, you know, another religion that's given birth. And it's like, I actually read details on it. Like, how is this going to work? And the way how they do it, the Muslims would they would go for praise and worship. Their teachings and stuff will be on Friday. The Christians will be on a Saturday. Sunday is like a collective kind of situation. So it's just like, what?
We're going to have to go to the lines. We have a caller on our line right now. Okay?
Somebody so talk. Let them talk.
Hold on 1 sec. Let's go to the caller. Caller, you're on the air.
What's going on?
What's going on?
This is Jay Moss checking in.
All right. Hey, you know.
All right.
Let me tell you something. We had said we were going to have a Jay Moss sighting, and you're here. You're right.
Jay Moss sighting. I like it. I love it.
Oh man, we was just going in real hard about some controversial stuff that's going on. I don't know. Were you listening while we were talking about this?
Oh no, I'm sorry, I wasn't. You got to refresh me. Go ahead.
Okay, Lacey, go ahead and refresh him.
So basically, what we're talking about is how in Kenya, 17 people were killed. They were killed, and they were all Christian worshipers. And the thing about it is, I really went into the segment on how we have the audacity over here as American Christians to say, you know, we're going through this, we're going through that, yet we compromise for everything. If we walk in the building and they say, don't say Jesus' name, then everybody gets silent. But everybody, we can talk about Muhammad, you can talk about Buddha, but we can't mention Jesus. And the way I feel like it's time for, it's no compromise. That's how I feel straight up. It's like I love God with all my heart and my soul, and you're not going to spit in God's face in front of me. You get what I'm saying? Like, the whole thing is like,
right,
we need to step up more as leaders. And our people, you know, also in the black community, they lack knowledge. They're perishing because they lack knowledge. And we're not, as leaders, really stepping down to them. That goes for the urban communities as well as the suburbs, or as well as anywhere from the block to the best that you can think of. So that's the whole thing. The topic is just basic about just stepping up, how we need to collectively come together.
Yeah. No doubt.
Now, everyone that has tuned in to the Covenant Cafe, we have our very special guest, Jay Moss. You know what? We're going to give you this, Jay, for calling in.
Thanks a lot.
We definitely appreciate it. Before we go into our series of interview questions for you, I want to say big up to the Detroit area, because that's my hometown. What part of Detroit are you from?
I am from the west side of Detroit. That's my spot.
Okay, can I say Cooley High? You know about Cooley High.
Oh, yeah, that's it. You got it. I know about all that.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll go over. The square mile area was Greenfield, 6 Mile, Finkel, and the Southfield Freeway, that block right in that area. That's where I grew up at.
There you go. That's it. That's all my hood.
Okay. We definitely got to check after the show. Lace has some questions for you, and then we're going to go into some other stuff. So, Lace, go ahead and lace them with those interview questions.
All right. So, first thing, I got to say, you did a song that I used to be on hard body back in the day. I'm not perfect. I just want to give you that song really helped me through a lot of stuff, because I was like, Lord, I'm trying, but, you know, it ain't, what's up? Things ain't really working out. And every time I heard that song, it re-energized me so much, man. So I bless God for that.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Absolutely.
So, first, I guess, you know, first, I've just been keeping everything real, man. What you working on, man? What do the people have to look forward to coming from J Moss?
Oh, man, it's all going down, man. July 31st, we're just gearing up for this new V4 release, man. Really excited about it. We're really, really, really excited about it. It's my latest in 3 years, man. So, you know, just for God, give me another opportunity to get out here, man, and put my stuff out. And, you know, a lot of people that have previewed it are already saying it's going to change the game again, man. So we're just, you know, we're glad that we're respected like that. And then the Lord just, you know, setting that platform up for us and, you know, laying it all aside so we can really, really, really rock it.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay. I'm feeling that. What is the title? What's the title again?
It's called V4, The Other Side, man. J Moss. Yep. V4, The Other Side, coming out July 31st. It's going to be in stores everywhere, man. You can pre-order it now at Walmart, FYE, iTunes. You can hit it now, you know, and be, you don't even have to wait for it when it actually drops. So definitely, you know, we're just looking for support. You know, so much stigma out there in the gospel community that we don't support our artists, man, and we got to do better with that, you know, so we can get this gospel out here, you know, give our young people an alternative music to listen to other than Jeezy and Wayne and Big Sean and all these guys. And no disrespect to them, they're doing their thing. But, you know, we got to support our own, too. You know, don't just condemn Wayne and them, you know, for being attractive. You know, we got some attractive gospel artists out here, too. You know, you got to steer your kids in that direction. You know, you can't just sit back and say, it ain't about all that. It ain't about all this celebrity. We ain't trying to be stars and rich over here. We know it's gospel. We know our checks ain't like Kanye's and Jay-Z's. You know, it ain't about that.
Right.
But it's definitely about getting awareness to people to change their lives and change their behavior, change their, you know, their way of living. You know, so it's a real big deal, man, and we need the help of the community to really make this happen.
Amen. So y'all heard it from J Moss himself, July 31st. The album is out everywhere. You guys go cop it. We are definitely supporting the Christian, the gospel community. We taking it. We taking the industry. We really finna change the game as far as encouraging, building people up, bringing people closer to God. We finna make a difference. I'm definitely feeling that. So
yes, sir.
I was reading your bio, man, and to be honest with you, It's certain parts that were so powerful to me. That's like, damn, he put this in his bio for real. That's real. He said that your first two albums were unsuccessful, and for you to keep pushing to now, which is very powerful because you have a lot of success. Can you like tell the listeners what gave you that push? You know, to keep going even when it looked rough, like two albums not successful at all. Like that's tough. You know what I mean? Tell us about that.
Well, I mean, you know, in gospel, most records are unsuccessful. See, that's what people don't really get. People think we do this and we sitting back living old, you know, in houses on a hill and, you know, millionaires, billionaires, you know, stock here, stock there. It's not like that. We do this because of our commitment to ministry. You know, so on paper, you know, that's why you don't see a lot of tours, you know, with gospel artists, you know, except on certain ones, because when Verizon comes in or Southwest Airlines or American Airlines comes in or Procter & Gamble come in, they look at the numbers. And when they see our numbers, they all look unsuccessful because they're so low. You know, so it's funny, man, you know, and that's why, again, I gotta say it, we got to support each other's music, man, and the reason that you keep going and the reason why people like myself and others keep going is because of our commitment to ministry. That's what it's about. It's about getting out there and trying to compel them to come, man. If I just wanted to be rich and do my thing, trust me, I'd be over there with Trey Songz now. You know, them all my boys. You know, and they all looking at me like, dude, why are you doing this? You'll be huge over here in R&B, man. But my, you know, me being rooted and grounded in what I believe in, what I stand for, my mama keeping that prayer hedge around me, you know, that keeps us going every day, man. And then going to the shows and seeing how people are being delivered, changed, and overcoming, man, and things of that nature, you know, it's no more of a gratifying feeling in the world.
Amen.
Now,
Amen.
as a gospel artist, what is, I'm going to put it like this, what is the most humbling moment for you in your journey as far as doing gospel music? What is the most humbling moment for you?
You know, just being able to know that, you know, doing what you love, man, doing, you know, and doing gospel music, that people do love you. You know, I think that's it humbles you out every day, you know, because people could love, I mean, it's thousands of artists out there, you know, hundreds of thousands of artists out there, man. You're like, you know, y'all could love anybody, but to see people, you know, online saying, yo, Jay Mars is my favorite artist, you know, or Jay Mars is my favorite male singer in the whole world, or Jay Mars is, you know, the person that made me come to Christ, you know, that for me, man, it just doesn't get better than that. I just don't think you can get that kind of fulfillment in R&B and rap and some of these other things, man, you know, so I praise God for this opportunity and this platform.
Amen.
That's absolutely wonderful. Now, I do have another one for you. Your father, Bill Moss. Now, do you see, did you think that you would have to follow his shadow as far as getting to gospel music? Or when you got out there, did you say, okay, I did all this on my own, no recognition from my dad?
My dad is single-handedly the one who got me started in this, man. So, you know, I mean, all props and all roads lead back to Bill Maher Sr. You know, I mean, he started me, and not only me, you know, he started, you know, and took the Clark sisters on their way and shared his stage with them. You know, there's a lot of things going on, man. And, you know, it's I attribute a lot of my success today to my dad. Now, did I have any handouts from the Clark sisters or Maddie Moss or Bill Moss Sr.? I mean, my dad, you know, with his platform, surely tried to pave the way as much as he could. But for the most part, man, you know, it's just been all grassroots. I mean, I had to earn every step of the way. You know, I mean, I'm still going on shows and, you know, and people are, you know, battling where they come up in the lineup, and people are hating on me, man. So we have to fight and struggle on this thing even today, you know. And I like it that kind of way because it makes me get home when I get home or just get around my crew. We kind of appreciate our success a little bit more because we know we had to fight for it. You know, didn't nobody just kind of come from behind the desk and say, yo, I'm about to make you big. Just sit back and enjoy the ride. You know, we didn't have that kind of luck. You know, we don't even believe in luck, but I'll call that kind of, you know, that kind of occurrence luck, man, because, you know, some people are out here, they just riding the wave because somebody hit a switch on them. You know, yo, we like you, we going to make you big, you know, just kick us some money back. You know, but in my case, man, we never had to do that. You know, we never had to sleep with no guys. We never had to turn into, you know, homosexuals. We never had to, you know, screw no women, you know, to make this happen. You know, it's just, you know, and excuse my bluntness, man, but we never had to sell out like that. You know, we never had to sell our souls, you know, for that, man. Everything we got, we had to go out there and earn every penny of it, every appearance of it, you name it, man. And I thank God for it, and I wouldn't have done it no other way.
That's been a blessing. You know, because gospel, like you, what I mean, we were discussing earlier, gospel artists seem to get the short end of the stick when it comes to, I guess, quote-unquote, the limelight. But that's not what you guys, you know, striving for. But at the same time, don't you believe that you guys should get equal justice as far as the entertainment business goes?
Oh, man. I mean, every day, all day. You know what I mean? Dude, I mean, we want to be on the BET Awards tonight, too. I mean, you know, we spreading our message and spreading our news, you know, but again, you know, when the higher-ups at these companies and corporations and networks, when they look at the numbers for us, they just don't see it. They just don't see how that can affect their ratings and how it can make them bigger and better. You know, and that's sad because it should be more about the message and the meaning. So it's just a little different, man, you know. But definitely, I mean, we think about that fame and fortune all the time. I mean, we're human beings, you know, but whatever platform God gives us, man, you know, whoever he puts me in front of to minister, you know, I'm just going to make that happen. You know, I look at God all the time and I say, Lord, as long as you sustain my family, allow them to live good and safe, you know, as possible, you know, we'll worship you and give you praise and thanks and be gratifying from here on out to the end of time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jay, can you hang around while we're going to go to a song, and then we're going to come back and we're going to have some more questions for you, for our listeners, and then you can be on your way.
All right, bro.
Okay, so we're going to go into a song, and actually it's great now. We do a lot of independent artists as well as national artists like yourself, so we give everybody an equal chance on our show. So right now we're going to go into Poetic Lace.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Deserved, no doubt. No problem.
All right.
This just in. Down in Jacksonville, Florida, there's been a shooting at the God First Election. Alleged victim, 23-year-old Poetic Lace, was shot at multiple times. Witness say they don't know where the shots came from, but they think Poetic knew this was going to happen. His message wasn't, I have a dream, but of equal importance. Over to you.
It's war time. I got my mind on the fight, and I'm fighting blind. I'm using faith as my leverage. I don't need deny. Listen as the guns ring. It's time for change. I would die for the Christ you can maintain. There goes my death with some bullets and cracks. All of them flying fast, straight ripping my chest and on my head. I give them war instead. Christ bled, so I ain't making my bed. I'ma fight for everything that's right. So I reach to my left for my weapon made for sense. But first, let's get back to my murderous death. As I lay with blood dripping from my mouth, I repent for my sins, so I wind up down south. The bullets came cause it's God first I seen. If you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. Assassination, I would die for the Lord. We have one accord, got my mind made up, tell me what's war. So I can fight to the death, leave nothing left. If it's a game, I retire, it's a assassination. I would die for the Lord, we have one accord, got my mind made up, tell me what's war. So I can fight to the death, leave nothing left. If it's a game, I retire, it's a rap. They shot at me, they murdered me, man, I couldn't see. Ski mask on top of towers, busting in the sleeve. Was it the way I walk, or the way I talk? I think it's low, cause I'm the one that's love with y'all. Before I die, they ask me where my heart lies. It's kinda funny, cause they don't wanna televise. I'm listening to these rappers and they out there telling lies. I guess anything just to be a capitalized. I ain't decided to do the criticize. But it's the lyrics doing the paralyzed. They say they trapping, but they actually in the booth. In the streets, say that they act like I'm missing too. Lies in the same, and it's a prophesied. Say anything just for a career rise. Kids imitating rappers cause it sounds good. But it's really dropping lies like an actual would. Assassination, I would die for the Lord. We have one accord. Got my mind made up, tell me what's sword. So I can fight to the death, leave nothing left. If this a game, I retire. It's a assassination. I would die for the Lord, we have one accord. Got my mind made up, tell me what a sword. So I can fight to the death, leave nothing left. If it's a game, I retire as a rep. I said, see, I'm in a better place. I fought the good fight, my life wasn't waste. I kept running nonstop, got it in the race. The Trinity blessed me, evil for the glass. Every time I heard a gunshot, I thought about how a life stops. Physically, spiritually, or mentally, we're all slaves of the mind, hypothetically. Worried about the way you look, the way you dress, just to have another human impressed. So stressed for what? You're so blessed. Complaining so much, I wonder how you get dressed. Before I died, I kept my Bible on me, cotton ready. Busting scriptures at the devil, chopping like confetti. I knew I died because the words that I spit. But before the flat line, I sent minutes to the pit. Assassination, I would die for the Lord. We have one accord. Got my mind made up, tell me what's war. So I can fight to the death, leave nothing left. If this a game, I retire. It's assassination, I would die for the Lord. We have one accord. Got my mind made up, tell me what's war. So I can fight to the death, leave nothing left. If this a game, I retire as a ref.
More on the story at 11.
That was from our very own Poetic Lace, Assassination.
Yes, sir.
Now, Jay, I got a few more things for you. Now, as far as independent artists, how do you feel about the independent artists that's coming up now in the gospel industry?
So, you know, it's always good, you know, for people to branch out and do things on their own, you know, get away from big labels, you know. You get that personal attention, you know. A lot of times you got to get your start somewhere. And becoming an independent artist is the new thing now. Some of them are blowing up. I mean, not only just in gospel, but in the other genres too. So, I think it's a big thing. Amen.
Okay. Lace, you have anything else for Mr. J. Moss?
Yeah. Okay. When you I saw that you went to Michigan State, and you ended up leaving after 2 years to pursue your career. That definitely touches home a lot on me because I went to FIU, and actually God told me to quit basketball and leave everything behind to leave. I went through a similar stage, but it's like I would just like you to say. Basically, what were you going through? Because I want this and this to be encouraged. What were you going through when, how did it feel necessarily like to really just leave everything and to pursue something that you know you were called to do?
Well, you know, for me, it's all commission-based, man. You know what I mean? It's all commission-based. You know, everything is driven. What drives me, what pushes me, the whole nine is ministry. It's got to be ministry first, man. You know, and I think because I put ministry first is the reason that I've had this successful ride. And I'll be totally honest with you, man, because I've had so many opportunities to do other things. You know, had so many opportunities to do other things, man, you know, but to stay in gospel, man, and just do it this way, it shows a lot about my commitment, man. And I just, again, I thank God for the ride.
Amen.
All right, that's awesome. No, it is very awesome. We're going to close out, and we really, really, really appreciate you taking your time and calling in and talking with us and our audience. Our next song that we're going to get into is your new single, God's Got It. Can you tell us a little bit something about that before we go into it? And we definitely appreciate you being on the air.
Oh, God's Got It, man. It's basically the character of the album, man. It just basically kind of describes where we at with this record, man. We're celebrating. It's hype. It's hard beats, man. We're really doing our thing on this record, man. And if nobody else likes it, you know, this will be one of those records that I can actually put on the shelf and say, wow, I love this album. You know, we did our thing, man. We were back to our musical element, man. I love the vocal arrangements. I love the songwriting. I love the performances on it, man. I think it was great, you know. So, and God Got It kind of portrays that from top to bottom.
Okay. All
hey,
right.
Jay, before you go, where can the people find you as far as Twitter and Facebook if they want to follow you or keep up with your upcoming events and whatnot?
It's Inside J Moss. Just search Facebook and Twitter for Inside J Moss. You'll run right into me. You can't miss me. I manage my own stuff. I always post the tour dates and schedule. And, of course, don't forget that main date, 7/31, 7/31, 7/31. July 31st, the last Tuesday in July, last Tuesday of this month, the new record comes out. Please, everybody, go and support the gospel music. Even if I'm not your cup of tea, I said that on Twitter and Facebook today, even if I'm not your thing, bless a young person with it. Bless a loved one with it. Somebody who might not even be in the gospel much, you know, maybe an R&B fan. Give it to them and see if we can get them, you know, on this gospel train. Thank y'all so much, man, for allowing me to share in your world. Please have me back, man. I look forward to it.
Oh, hey, Jay. Hey, Jay.
Yo.
Jay, before you go, I definitely want to network with you. I'm going to follow you and hit you up on Twitter. My name is at Poetic Lace, P-O-E-T-I-C-L-A-C-E. I'm definitely going to network with you, sir, if that is...
Absolutely. Please do, man. Yeah, definitely.
All right. Thanks again. So we close now with J. Moss, ladies and gentlemen. And the song link up that actually we're going to toss to is God's Got It. You take care, J. Moss.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
All right.
All right,
Hella. Okay. Sorry about that. Actually, we're supposed to be tossing to his song here, and hold on 1 second, ladies and gentlemen. We have a little situation here. Okay, here it is.
Yo, P. They ain't ready. It's the new swag, baby.
Woke up this morning and I told myself, not gonna worry about what I cannot help. People dying innocently, hate is spreading rapidly. I'm not talking apathy, but some things God's gotta
work.
Whoa, he's gotta
work.
Yeah. Check it out.
Things, you know, we got to do, we got to pay our bills.
Got to pay the bills.
So we got to, you know, go to a couple commercial break, go to a commercial break, and we'll be right back. The Covenant Cafe with your hosts Lamont Ferguson
and Poetic Lace.
Do you have an event you're planning and need a keynote speaker? Then the Speakers Bureau Institute is the agency for you. Actress Tasha Smith partners with RKD Music and Talent Management to bring an array of celebrity speakers, artists, and athletes for your event. Book names like Kim Coles, Tasha Smith, Tisha Campbell-Martin, Vanessa Bell Calloway, LaToya Luckett, Lisa Leslie, Flex Alexander, Leela James, Cheryl Lee Ralph, and more. Whether it's a conference, workshop, seminar, or college event, SBI has provided a phenomenal lineup of speakers that will cater to your event. For more information on booking a speaker for your next event, call 818-571-0998 or visit rkdmusic.com. SBI is a subsidiary of RKD Music and Talent Management, located in Beverly Hills, California.
Attention all shoenistas. Looking for a hot stiletto? Are you addicted to sexy shoes? Make a fashion statement and check out the Stiletto Diva at www.thestilettodiva.com. We have what you need. The Stiletto Diva is committed to bringing you a variety of affordable, quality styles to help complete the sexy in you. We're here to assist you with bringing out the ultimate diva from head to sole. True divas wear stilettos. Visit us at www.thestilettodiva.com to find the perfect pair or for information about booking a party.
All right, you are now listening to the Covenant Cafe. Your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
Thank you for tuning in for our last hour. This part of our show, we're going to continue on with some informative information. We had actually earlier we were talking about the Muslims, what's going on with the Muslims wanting to have one specific religion with Christians, right? Am I correct when I'm saying this? And they're trying to line themselves up with a new religion. So you guys,
yeah, you have a lot of religious leaders that came to an agreement as far as the Chrism religion, which is a combination of Christian and Muslims.
Wow.
And I don't see that as being a prosperous, whatever you want to call it, establishment, if that's what you want to say.
Wow.
But, you know, we are in those times.
I think it's absolutely insane. Now, you have another piece of information for us?
Yeah, so I got something very informative for the people, especially those with kids. So as of recently, three United States companies are recalling 228,000 items of children's sleepwear because of the concerns that it could catch fire. A nine-year-old little boy had on pajamas, and they're extremely flammable, and they combusted on them. Terrible, terrible news. These companies is Rego International Incorporated, which is in Los Angeles. We have Pajama Ground, which is in Vermont, and we have Instech Textile Products Incorporated, which is in Dulles, Georgia. Their calling numbers are very great. They range from, you know, 210, like I said, it was 228,000 that are being called back. So basically, parents, brothers, sisters, cousins, aunties, uncles, grandparents, whomever you may be, check your children's sleeping wear and make sure that it's not from these companies, or if it is from these companies, you need to take them back because they're having a recall right now. And I would hate to read one of your stories on current news because your child caught on fire due to this recall incident.
Wow. That's insane.
Yes.
Let me tell you about what's even more insane. On dealing with library books, this is very insane. This portion of our show, we're going to discuss some weird but true news. Okay, now, I've been late on turning my books to the library. I'm quite sure everybody's been late turning their books to the library. Everybody's guilty of it. They try to get a couple of extra days on a read or the movie that they rented from the library. Well, however, did you know you can get arrested in Albuquerque, New Mexico?
What?
Let me tell you. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, a woman was arrested, and she spent the night in jail for not returning the book, Twilight, and two DVD sets, The Twilight Saga, New Moon, and she didn't turn it back in on time, and as a matter of fact, it only amounted to $36 worth of library materials that hadn't been returned since 2010. Now, Lori Till, she was arrested and handcuffed at her home in front of her, not one, but five small children earlier this month.
That's crazy.
Yes, insane. But however, the charges were dismissed. But although the charges were dismissed, I'm just going off the mere fact that someone actually drove to her house, knocked on her door, asked for, is it Lori Till here? She comes to the door, yes, I am Lori Till. It really read her her rights and arrested her. Handcuffed her in front of her kids. That's insane.
So this is where the taxpayers' dollars go, to petty arrest. Really? And
yeah,
we got people who are embezzling large amounts of money. I ain't even going to start it, because that sounds so biased. I'm not even going to say that. But all I'm saying is, really? Really? You arrest on a late fee?
Late fee. $36 worth. That she probably could have paid right there, and she could have said, okay, look, man, okay, this don't arrest me. Let me just go ahead and give you the $36 that I owe you. That's pretty deep. Now on some other stuff. Check this out.
Check this out. Before you even go deeper, before you hop on that, because you just told arrest that didn't have to happen. I want to tell people about arrest that had to happen, that needed to happen, and it is well deserved.
Okay.
A homeless man got caught scamming luxury hotels over a lot of expenses. So basically what happened,
wow,
a homeless man was caught by the police for his name is Drifter David Price. They gave him the nickname Drifter. So basically what's going on down in Orlando, Florida, this homeless guy, he would basically kind of creep around nice hotels. I'm talking about like the Ritz Carlton, the Hard Rock, high-profile hotels. And he would, when the guests would leave, he would sneak in. And he's been doing this for a minute, like a cool thousands of dollars. On top of that, he was buying clothes, because you know your credit card is on record. So he was buying clothes. He was buying, he was like, you know, hitting the booth, of course. He was getting all the luxury items you can think of, hitting the bar, all that stuff. And like one guy, his name is Joseph Barak, he got $9,000 out of him in credit card fees. So
wow.
The thing is, this alerts us that, on top of that, police are now investigating that to see if what he did at Walt Disney World. So he did some stuff at Disney World too. So the thing is, we have to be more cautious and just be more mindful of what's going on. Like, just so I know, I hate to say be this detailed, but this is what you have to do. When you check out of your hotel, call back in 15, 20 minutes later and make sure it's all good. Because what this guy doing, this homeless guy, what he was doing, when a person would check out, he would slide in, and he would call the office and say, you know what, I changed my mind, I want to extend it 10 more days.
Wow.
The credit card is already on record. He's a male. Why not? He's calling from the room. Nobody knows how he got in the room in the first place, of course. This just happened, so he's not, you know, that the confession part hasn't went that far.
It's not hard to work in a hotel, though.
It's not. It's really not.
And I find that very disturbing, because, you mean, anyone could just walk in. As long as you of that male figure or that female figure, you know what I mean? So you slide on in there, tell them, look, don't worry about cleaning this room, we good. And
we good.
Yeah, we good for like 2 weeks. And that was allowed. I mean, there should be some type of system where there can be some red flags that go up. I mean, who stays an extra 10 days? I know I can't. You know what I mean? I'm just like, okay, I barely can stay an extra day. So when someone says, right. We're going to stay an extra 10 days, that ought to be like, okay, let's check this out. Is this true? I don't
understand. In the hotel's defense, you know, I'm looking at it like, oh, well, these are some high-profile hotels. Like, you got to have money to check in the first place. So if you got, you know, I'm thinking like, okay, well, you know, he got money. He owns his own business. He probably really needs a vacation or whatever else, quote-unquote, that he's doing if there he needs more time. So, you know, I'm not even going to bother him. As long as he's paying me, as long as I'm getting my money, that's what the hotels are thinking. As long as I'm getting my money, you know, he can do whatever he want up there. Watch it.
Wow.
That's, so, you know, it's a tough position.
I don't know. It's got to be something.
Yeah.
It's got to be something in the water. It's crazy. Now, check this out. A boy stole a car at toy gunpoint, and he took the car for a joyride.
What?
How about this? This happened in Sweden. All right. Now let's go back. A boy, okay, stole the car with a toy handgun. Okay. What adult is going to let a little boy take the car in the first place? With a gun or without a gun? Okay. The boy was 9 years old. 9 years old. You let a 9 year old take your car? How is that gonna happen? Now this is what happened. He went up to the person and told him that it was loaded before taking the car, breaking into and stealing a parked car. He stole the parked car. So there were witnesses around. Okay. So therefore, apparently the word witnesses mean there were more than one person.
Yes.
Get bullied by a 9 year old with a toy gun. Okay. We're not talking about an old lady and she see this guy with a gun and she's like, oh, I'm terrified. It might be real. But when you add the plural form to witnesses, you mean to tell me, I don't know, it could have been just two. But however, two couldn't handle a 9 year old. Okay, he took the gun. I mean, he took the car, and he went on a joyride. But however, he was able to get. They were able to catch him. That's how. He stole an electric vehicle, and electric vehicles do not go as fast as your normal car. Your normal car will hit over 80 miles per hour. Speed, you know. Peeling off and everything. This car only goes 18 miles an hour. So they were able to grab him, run him down in that 18 mile, in that little car, and catch. But the thing is, because he was 9 years old, he was not charged because he was too young.
Now, that's honestly, in my opinion, that's good in some sense as far as him not going to prison.
Oh, wait, hang tight. We have a caller on the line. Hold on one second. Hold that thought there, Lace.
All right.
Caller, you on the air.
Hi, I'm just listening. Thank you.
Hello?
Hi.
You're just listening.
Thank you.
We thank you for calling. Thank you for listening to the show. So you're just listening. You don't have any questions for us?
Up the story.
I can't hear you.
That I'm still at the story that you're telling.
Are you just shocked about the story that we were talking about?
Yes.
Yes, this is true. This is true. This particular story happened in Sweden. So what is your feedback? on this particular story?
I'm just wondering about his upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
Because there has to be something. There has to be something more to it, because a typical 9-year-old wouldn't do something like that. So I'm just wondering, you know, his family surrounding, what was really going on in his family.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty interesting. Now, where are you calling from, and what's your name?
California, and my name is Cynthia.
Cynthia from California? You know what? Hey, Lace, we have to give her something special. We have to give her something special. We'll call it California. We really appreciate you calling in. We definitely, definitely appreciate it. And you're absolutely right about the upbringing, because this guy, I mean, he went, this is a 9-year-old, wow, I can't talk. I'm so frustrated about the situation. What 9-year-old is going to try to steal a car for real? You know, kids play cops and robbers all the time. What made this kid actually say, you know what, I'm going to take it to the next level, and this is what I'm going to do? That is definitely crazy. And
I
have you
feel,
go ahead.
I feel like, you know, not to get sued or anything, but Grand Theft Auto goes so hard. We got video games that's really teaching and stuff. And I used to get whoopings all the time when I came up. So I feel like I would have pulled my belt out if I'd have saw that live in effect. Like I would have, you know, we would have had a whooping spree on the real.
Yes, definitely. Cynthia, we definitely appreciate you calling in. Hello?
You're more than welcome.
Okay. And you're definitely going to keep... Okay, I do have one more question for you. How long have you been listening to our show? Is this the first week?
I've listened off and on.
You've been listening to all of them?
No, off and on I've listened.
Oh, okay. So you have a faithful follower. We definitely, definitely, definitely appreciate you calling in, and you know what? We have something special for you. We're going to give you this. And you know what? Before, because I could go on and on about talking about these troubled youth, because I actually work with troubled youth or at-risk youth, the quote-unquote term for kids that's having issues, and we can talk for hours. But let me tell you, what we're going to do right now, we're actually going to go into our poetry spot, okay? So we definitely thank you for calling in, and stay tuned, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Okay, this is the Covenant Cafe, your host, Lamont Ferguson, and...
Poetic Lace.
And we're actually about to go into the Poetry Avenue.
This is the poetry spot, and I'm Isis, the goddess of poetry. Flow it free into the universe. Take things out of time and speak new languages. Leave feeling its freedom ringing in your soul. Flow it freely. No, leave that which prohibits you to be anything else but free flowing in the breeze. Flow it free until your conscious freezes with zest and less stress to confine its motionless mind, dimming light till you are blind. No, let's rewind. Go back in time when it would only cost a penny for your thoughts. Now it's a dime. Flow it free. Do not be reckless and intertwined with bottomless pits of naked minds. Be not afraid to take a peek into my mind, because only in this place and time, within the fine lines, will you find a peace of mind, and you will then be able to flow it free. Now, leave me. This is the deep poetry spot.
This This is Poetic Avenue featuring our very own Poetic Lace.
Hit the button.
You know what? We definitely got to give you some love here.
I'm going to buy me one of those buttons, and I'm just walk around and just hit the button.
That's absolutely right. You know what? I really, really appreciate Miss Cynthia calling in from California. That was awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
That's love.
Awesome to know that. So what are you going to like us today?
All right, so today we're going to go back in the past, like always. this one here is obviously, after looking at it, I'm like, dang, I really was going through something. So I'm going to let y'all hear it straight up. This is straight from the core, real life, nothing sugar-coated. It's called The Voice Behind the Mirror. I'm looking at the man in the mirror, and he's looking right back. He doesn't have much to say, neither do I. I guess we both pissed. But that's the risk that you take in the game full of crooked snakes. Adam should have paid more attention. Now we're trapped in this sinful dimension. Not to mention close friends trying to throw you off task. I thought we were real, but they were hiding behind masks. Politicians ain't much either. They talking and stalking, but I ain't seen too much walking. They say actions louder than words. Some people don't get respect because they act like birds. Chirp, chirp, all talk. When the coast is clear, that's when a bird walks. And HBCU tried to screw me. I can't believe my own kind would try to do me. So they ain't even my kind then. I'd rather be at a school that I can rely in. The only time I have a problem with white folks is when they're in a uniform like 5-0. You know what I mean? Like, put your hands behind your head because you're black, yo. I'm so tired of the black-white race thing. White people want to judge me. Black people already judge me. Other races are trying to judge me. So I'm a soldier. What do you expect from me? That's why I'm living colorblind. Good is good and evil is evil. I said it. Good is good and evil is evil. Oh, yeah. I had a dream that God said if I took the steps, he'll make the path. So now that I think about it, that's some easy math. So the man in the mirror and I, we parted ways. And then we heard another voice that said, y'all pray for better days.
Wow. That was speechless.
True. This is how I was feeling at the time, just to get history on it at the time. I had just left. I was going to a historical black college, up at Central State University in Ohio. I left there, and basically they were trying to steal my money. They were just doing me so dirty, and it was funny how everybody was like, you know, go to black school, don't go to these white schools, blah, blah, blah. You know how the urban community is. And I just saw that, dang, but why is it that our own people, they don't even care? Like, they obviously didn't care about me for them to try to do me this way. And then at the same time, I'm dealing with situations outside of sports with police and stuff like that when I had nothing to do with. So it was just, it's a lot of anger, a lot of anger.
Wow. That's actually pretty interesting that you were saying how you're sick of the black-white race thing because,
yes,
believe it or not, well, we could use a whole show on this one. But
who are you telling?
People have a tendency to use that as a scapegoat.
Yes.
And I hear it all the time, and they use it. A lot of them, there are true incidents where a black person may have been racist, discrimination situation going on. I don't know why I'm so tongue tied to that, but everybody's going to have its issues. Okay, there are black racist people, there are white racist people. There are Puerto Rican racist people. There are Chinese racist people. People are racist in all colors. Okay.
Yes.
We know the situation. We know the past. But we have to live for the future. Okay.
Right.
Now, if you go apply for a job and you go to your interview in flip-flops and in shorts and a white tee, and you don't get the job, it's not because you're black. It's because you didn't dress appropriate for the interview. It goes to what we're talking about, how you're supposed to dress appropriate when you go out.
Right, right.
You know, I have students that I've worked with that have actually had this happen to them. And they said that the guy, or he or she, was racist because he or she didn't get the job. Got to keep it like that. He or she didn't get the job. So I asked him, okay, what did you wear to the interview?
Mm-hmm.
I wore my jeans and white tee. You know, it was a clean one. What? What do you mean? Well, I ain't got a button up. You know, I said, well, I see you with a lot of nice polo shirts. You can put a nice, if you don't have any dress shirts in your closet, you can put on a polo shirt, nice jeans, and some nice shoes, not tennis shoes, okay? Because if you're going for the job, there are times that you're going for the job because you don't have money. So at that time, you probably don't have enough money to get what you need to be appropriate. So that don't mean that you need to have the sagging jeans going into the interview. You don't need to have on a white tee going into the interview. So that right there has nothing to do with race. But a lot of people use it as a scapegoat because they don't want to put the blame on themselves for not fulfilling what they need to do.
Right.
You know, so I think America to get off that high horse of a black and white situation, because there have been white people who have done me wrong, there have been white people who have done me right, there have been black people that have done me wrong, there have been black people who have done me right. So, you know what I mean? Me personally, I don't play the race card because people are people.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So, the best thing to do is, when you have a situation that's arriving, handle it in an appropriate manner. Don't go off cursing someone out, because the minute you do that, then they're going to look at you the way they were going to be looking at you in the beginning. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely.
So that's my standpoint, because it's crazy out here, you know. So, and it's sad to hear that, you know, you went to HBCU to further your education, and that's where you had the problems at, right?
Yeah, true.
You know, so from there, you went to, what was the other school you went to?
From there, I transferred to Daytona State, where I got my AA, and then I went to Florida International University down in Miami, Florida.
Oh, okay. They play some decent basketball down there. They always get the play-in game. They don't ever get in a real tournament.
They get. We ain't going to talk about my old school, though. We're not predicting about it.
It's like, y'all were good enough to play, but not good enough to be seated. We'll give you a shot. But it's all good. But right now, we're going to go ahead and go into some Whitney Houston. I'll look to you. We're going to come back, and we're going to discuss a little bit more poetry. Man, dude, you're nice. You're real nice with the writing.
Mm.
You're very, very
Lord
talented.
God.
Very, very blessed.
Lord.
Right now,
Lord,
and what we're going to play right now is Whitney Houston, I Look to You. This is where we should be at in our life. I Look to You.
Amen.
I lay me down, heaven hear me now, I'm lost without a cause, after giving it my all. Winter storms have come, and darkened my son, after all that I've been through, who on earth can I turn to? I look to you.
Once you reach a plateau, like of stardom,
mm-hmm. yeah.
everybody puts you way above the clouds. You know, they put everybody above
sure.
the clouds. And although they're making a lot of money, they're very successful in their field, people forget they are human.
True.
You know what I mean? And she always, although she had her issues, like,
mm-hmm.
see, the thing is, okay, I'm not going to preach, but I'm going to speak my mind.
Do what you do.
So what happens is everybody have their faults.
Right.
And everybody has a weakness.
Mm-hmm.
Her weakness may not have been what your weakness is. Her weakness was
right.
drugs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
she needed to be, you know, people, her circle needed to pray for her and get dealing with drugs.
Yeah, and I agree. I agree.
The media slammed her every chance that they got. Yes, there are times she was acting a fool, but there was a reason behind that. Now, there's
yes,
a difference
yes.
when there's a chemical making you act a certain way as opposed to you just acting a certain way.
Right.
The chemical that was making her act a certain way was the drugs.
Right.
The abuse.
Mm.
The thing is, she, however, maintained well-grounded, I should say, in the church. Okay.
Yeah.
So she knew deep in her heart where to look and where to go when she really, really needed help.
Amen. That's real.
You know what I mean? It wasn't her
yeah.
circle. It wasn't her circle, apparently. So...
Mm-hmm.
And at this point in time, you know, of course, we got heaven and hell. We don't know which way she went because you don't know.
We don't. We don't.
Where she said, okay, look, I need to give my life. Because you have up until the very last moment until God strikes you.
Mm-hmm.
Unless he strikes you unexpectedly, you know, and you drop dead, then there's a possible situation that you may not have repented for your sins. But
mm-hmm.
we don't know if she dropped dead. We don't know if she went down slowly.
Right.
Because she could have run down slowly and still accepted Christ into her heart. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
therefore, she's what again?
She's reborn.
Thank you.
Understood.
And,
see, now, I want to throw this in there, too, because you said something really crucial, how the media would slander her and everything. This really pisses me off. How is it you wait till somebody died to give them roses? I'm talking about I'm seeing all these specials. Whitney Houston was the bestest. There'll never be another her. And da-da, all this stuff, replaying her moves and everything. But when she was alive, everybody gave their behind for her to kiss. That was it. Like, it was no kind of love, no kind of – I don't like that. Why do we have all these great tributes when people die? We have all this good stuff to say about them. But when they're alive, we put them through hell. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's crazy to me. I feel like when she was alive, and I feel the same way towards if it was a family member or anybody else that we have in our circle, it ain't nothing for me to call and say, hey, bro, you did your thing yesterday, man, or you did your thing such and such. Boy, I pray that God keep holding you. Boy, I love you. Boy, you're a good person. I love you, sis. Da-da-da. Something instead of, bro, I hate you. You always do stupid stuff. And then at the funeral, man, I'm going to miss her. She was so great with God. That's ludicrous, man. Are you serious?
Yeah. And it's so real because she's a legend. A legend.
Yeah.
And she receives so much heat for the things that she went through. And like I said, everybody have their weakness.
Right,
you know, with the drugs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, man, I just don't. I mean, I understand what society is doing. I get what they're doing, but it's absolutely wrong. I don't care who makes it to that high level of entertainment or business or whatever you want to call the high level is
mm-hmm.
the limelight per se. But it's just we have to stop taking our focus and stop putting so much trust into these people that we see on the billboards, on television, on the radio, listen to it on radio. We got to put our trust in the correct one, the perfect
right.
Because that person is not going to never let you down. Not to say Whitney Houston let us down, but for those people who believe so much in her
mm-hmm.
because she did the drugs, they were let down. You can't let
yeah.
a man let you down because you
right.
shouldn't believe, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
yeah. The Bible says put your trust in God and not man.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
And I just, you know, I did watch the funeral, and I watched all the the remarks, how everybody came together as one, okay, as one movement. Now,
yeah.
That also needs to transfer into the community that each and every one of us live in. Because when
sure.
you lose someone in your community, let's say, to gun violence, everybody needs to come together and fix that situation. How did he or she in that community go down? You know what I mean? So
yeah.
there needs to be some type of movement, just like they did for Whitney. They went to bat for her. They said all the kind words and all this stuff. But who was going to bat with her for her when she was, you know, these things going on in that circle?
Yeah, right. That's true.
You know, it was a movement at the time of her passing, and I think that same energy needs to go into our community. You know, the way we looked at her, we could look at our communities the same way, because the average Joe, the average your teacher, you know, they don't get any recognition. They're the ones that taught the doctors, right? The
uh-huh.
lawyers, the entertainers. They're the ones that taught those individuals. They don't get any justice.
That's deep.
You know what I mean?
That's
the
deep.
Police department
mm-hmm.
don't get their justice. There are some dirty cops, yes, true.
Yeah.
But the ones
mm-hmm.
that's out there working hard every day, risking their life for little or nothing.
Mm.
You know what I mean? When they go to work, we're not guaranteed to come back home regardless. But
right.
they go in the line of fire.
Right.
Okay. And the only recognition they get is from the negative influence they get from the ones that's doing the dirt. You feel
that's,
what I'm saying?
That's deep. You're saying some deep stuff right now. One thing I'm catching from you really is it's so easy to talk about the bad. We don't take time out to bring in good or to even do good.
Mm-hmm.
It's deep. This is deep. Go ahead. Continue. I didn't even mean to break you.
No, but I'm just saying, like, these people who put themselves in the line of fire, and no pun intended, even firefighters, every day they go out there, they fight these fires, and you're not guaranteed to go into this fire and come out of there.
Right.
You know, so I think the same energy that we put into our entertainers should be put into our local heroes and give them the support and actually make our communities better. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Good stuff.
You know, so.
Good stuff.
Let's go into something else. Right now, we're going to go into Israel Houghton, Saved by Grace, and then we're going to continue on with this conversation here on the Covenant Cafe.
by grace.
Mm.
Wow.
Good uplifting, up tempo, just uplifting my spirit. That was really good. It was needed after all these depressed topics of the night.
Yeah, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, we just have to bring the,
yeah.
People say keeping it real, and this is
this is
keeping it real to the day you die for real.
This is we have to bring the reality of it, because every time you turn around, it's everything's sugar coated. So this is the reality of what we're dealing with. So
one thing I really like that I hear a lot from, and a lot of people don't like this guy, but I think he's a cool character, Steve Harvey.
Yeah, I agree.
One thing, one phrase that he says on a consistent basis, every day. I can't even get my words together for some reason today. But he said it on a regular basis. He says, God ain't through with me yet.
Amen.
You know what I mean? God ain't through with me yet. And it is absolutely the most honest thing a person can say on the air, on public radio.
Right.
On a main station, to be able to say, God ain't through with me yet.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So
yeah. He's
actually one of the few people that's helping, you know, making your respect for God a cool thing, an okay thing, an all right thing to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I know we did discuss this earlier, how people, you know, shun and all this other stuff. But, like one of, I guess the only one I've heard on a regular basis that say, you know, you hear people say, give an honor to God, thank you, God, for giving me this award and this, that, and the third. You hear that all the time. But for him to say that on a regular basis, God ain't through with me yet. You know, he still has more work to do. And he understands that. As long as you understand that, now once you understand that, now everything you do, you are accountable for what you do, and that's between you and God, how you handle that situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So now you're aware of the rewards and consequences of accepting Christ and not accepting Christ.
That's a good way to put it.
You know what I mean? So,
and I
look at that, and I actually always apply that to my everyday life. You know, by the end of the night, did I do everything I can do to better myself, my family? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the most positive way. Because God ain't doing me yet. You know what I mean? So we all have our flaws and our imperfections and things of that nature that we have to work on. No one's perfect. A lot of people may look at people, oh, man, you are the perfect guy or you're the perfect girl for me.
Whoa, yeah.
Everything's perfect? You know, like that's how you have disagreements, because everyone's not perfect. So there's going to be something that you're going to do and the other person's going to do, then y'all are not going to agree with. You know what I mean? So, that, you know, God is a very, very, very needed being for everyone. Christ is very needed in everyone's life. I don't care how you put it. I don't care if you say I'm not ready for that right now. But just let you know, it is needed.
Amen.
So before we close out, I want you to give us some advice or word for the week that we need to hear and go by.
It's funny, Cal. Everything you just said, mind you, people, we freestyle everything. So everything you just said actually goes with the scripture that God gave me earlier. The scripture is Isaiah 41:10. And it says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So that's, you know, that's the reward of walking with God. We don't have to fear. God is going to hold us. He's going to strengthen us. He's going to hold us with his right hand. That's what he said. And the Bible says that God is not a man, so he cannot lie. So if he cannot lie, these are words that we stand on. This is our confirmation right here that if we walk in righteousness, that we follow his purpose for our life, that we submit to him, that we yield to him, that we hold on to him, that we trust him, and we believe that he's God, this is what he's going to do. He's going to say, fear not. Be not dismayed. I will strengthen you. I will help you. This is how he said, I. He didn't say you will help yourself. He said, I, God, will help you. My righteous hand. And think, and just doing some theology about the words in this, hand means power. In the Bible, hand is always power. And you already know that right is, you know, right is always like a dominant form. So he said, my righteous right hand. But you ain't, God, if God said he got you, you ain't going nowhere. Don't even trip. So, and you guys, comings and goings, to's and froms, ups and downs, all around. Just remember that God is holding you. So what is the point of fearing? Let's not give glory to Satan this week. Let's not say the devil is busy. No, God is busy. We trust God. We see God. If God allows it to happen, it's for the bettering of my life and the people around me. If he didn't allow it to happen, it's for the bettering of my life and the people around me. This is all works to the good of God, to better the kingdom, to get us home. We want to go home. Our treasure is not here on earth, so we're not worried about the fame. We're not worried about the money. We're not worried about all this other vanity stuff. We want to go home, the kingdom of heaven. So we're going to continue to walk in God, and we're going to seek him, and we're not going to fear because God got us.
Hmm. Yeah, a lot of people are satisfied with saying that, wow, a lot of people are satisfied with saying the devil is busy, but they're not doing nothing about it.
Right.
Yeah, I hear that all the time. You hear it all the time in church. You know, God, the devil's busy. Yeah. Okay, so what are you doing about that? How are you protecting yourself? What kind of sword are you carrying with you?
What's deeper about that is the devil can't do anything unless he gets God's permission. He is powerless. The devil is not a god. He's not the king of hell. He's none of that. He is a creation that fell, kicked out of heaven. Lost the battle. Couldn't even compete. He has no power. He has to go to God and ask for permission before he does anything. And when the devil thinking that, oh, I'm going to destroy this person, because if you look in the book of Job, the devil had to go to God to get permission to harm him. But God had a bigger plan. God says, Job is righteous. Job will not curse me. So the whole thing about it is, it's like when we go through our trials and tribulations, let's consider that God believes in us so much that he'll put us to the test, that he will allow this terrible thing to happen to us because he knows that we can make it through the fire and we are worthy of building the kingdom, that we are worthy of being an example to somebody else to come to Christ. That, yeah, though I mess up, but I'm still going to be strong. And though I'm going through the fire, I bet I make it through. I bet I make it through.
Exactly. So we got to wrap this up. This is, man, this is deep. This is deep. So what we're going to do, we're going to wrap this up. You have been listening to The Covenant Cafe, your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace
on the D-Hour Radio Show Network. I mean, you guys, I appreciate everyone that tuned in.
Yes.
We definitely got that J. Moss Project coming up on July 31st, so don't bully, bootleg it, go buy it, support it, and you just listen. And like he said, I'm not going to ramble, but like he said, J. Moss said himself, if you don't like it yourself, give it to someone that it may be a blessing to.
Amen.
So on that note, we're going to go out with a J. Moss song, We Must Praise. And we thank you guys for listening to The Covenant Cafe.
If I were a drummer,